the order my steps, there's a term we use that I don't know if we realize what it means when we say it, because I think we use it incorrectly. The term God is faithful. God is faithful. And what does that mean exactly? How does that work in our lives when we say God is faithful? Well, in understanding that, we want to make sure that we are focused and understanding what it means to be a Christian. In a nutshell, as it shows up top, if you turn your bulletins over, it says our Christian walk requires us to trust God completely. It requires us to trust God completely. Looking at these two selections from God's Word, first of all, we have to understand that not affected by troubles. We have to not be affected by troubles. Think about this for a minute. I'll go over this. It says in John 14:1, do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. Okay, keep that in mind. The second part of it says we accept life as it's given. We accept life as it's given. And we see in Romans 8, verse 28, and we know that in all things, everybody say all things. What does that include? Everything. In all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Now, when you look at these two selections, look at what they're saying. When we think of the term God is faithful, unfortunately, we think it means he's going to do what I desire based on me. Right? In other words, when I think of troubles and I think God is faithful, I think not only will he get me out of troubles, I can get him from keeping me going through troubles. Right? Because I'm thinking he's doing it based on me. That's how I would like him to do it. I want him to do it the way I see it based on me. Hopefully you're noticing this theme. Everything for a Christian has to be based on God. In fact, for the entire world, it should be based on God. Where we messed it up as time went on, we started making it about us. We made it as if God created us so he can serve us. Do you understand that? I mean, it's gotten crazy. Instead of realizing, no, we're here to serve him, but he does it for our good. And that's why, if you notice, the first part saying not affected by troubles means, oh, you're going to go through troubles, but my comfort and my protection and my understanding is in my trust in him. So it told me, do not let my heart be troubled. Amen? He didn't go, oh, don't be worried, I'll get rid of the thing that's worrying or troubling your heart. He's saying, no, don't let it be troubled. You're going to go through troubles, but don't be troubled. There's a reason why you're going through. He's saying, trust me. The hard part, if I don't understand trust, if I don't understand faithfulness, I'll look at him and go, so that means you're going to do what I want? You're going to get me out of this? You're going to make it work out? No. He's saying, no, trust me. I know what I'm doing. And that's where the second part shows us that we have to accept what's given to us, because he says, in all things, God works for what? The good. Now, why is that so important? Because unfortunately, we don't know the true definition of good. A lot of us think we do. I mean, think of it as parents. You have children, and if it was up to them, they'd eat the whole bag of candy. Correct? And they think it's good. They would think nothing of it. They'd be like, this is perfect. Thank you so much. You've been thinking about me. I want the entire bag. And it's good. Now, when you go, you can have one or two pieces, and that's it. Save some for later. They'll look at you like, why? To them, it's not good. We're the exact same way when it comes to God. We don't understand good, so we trust him into working everything in our lives for our good. Do you understand this? Okay, so that's very important. You got to grasp that first. So, in order to trust God, we must know God is faithful. Know that God is faithful. Faithful, coming from the Greek word pistos, which means trustworthy, subjectively trustful, believing, faithful, sure, and true. Okay? So all of these are showing that he is the only reliable source in the entire universe. Now, we have other things that have trustworthy moments, but the only one that is 100% trustworthy or faithful is God. When he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, he's saying, I am it. right? And he's basically saying, I am the answer. So if I give you the answer, that is the answer. Does that make sense? I know sometimes we want a answer. There's more desirable answers, or do you want the truth? And we want the truth. God has, is, and always will be faithful. Psalms 146:6 says, the maker of heaven and earth, the sea and everything in them, the Lord who remains faithful forever. Say it again. It says, the maker of heaven and earth, the sea and everything in them, the Lord who remains faithful. How long?
Forever.
Okay? He's always faithful. Now, the significance there is, like I said, we may have moments or times or situations in our life that we may have faithfulness, but nobody is always, all the time, everywhere, faithful but God. He's saying he has always been and will always be faithful. You can always trust in him. Understand that his word is faithful and we must obey it. Psalms 119, 86 through 88 says, all, everybody say all, all your commands are trustworthy. Help me, for men persecute me without cause. They almost wipe me from the earth, but I have not forsaken your precepts. Preserve my life according to your love, and I will obey the statutes of your mouth. Now, when it says all your commands are trustworthy, the reason why he's even putting this there is to make sure we understand that we're going to read some of them and go, well, why is God doing that? Even in our own lives, things are going to happen that we're going to look at and go, God, why is this happening? And then we'll read his word and he'll say things like, let not your heart be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me. He didn't say, I'm going to take care of it, it's going to go away. He's saying, no, trust in God, trust also in me. Whatever's happening, trust me. Okay? And we struggle with that. But trustworthiness is basically saying, God knows what he's doing. Right now, everything looks like a catastrophe. Everything looks like it's going the wrong way. But God knows what he's doing. It goes on to let us know, so I have not forsaken your precepts. So that means if your word says it, I'm going to stick with it. Even if I see people doing other things, other ways, and they seem to be working, I'm doing what you say. Do y'all get this? I'm following what you say. And it's saying, preserve my life according to your love. Remember, in his word, he gives us what true love is. And he is the way. And also, I will obey the statutes of your mouth. So not only am I listening to them, I am doing exactly what they say. I'm applying them to my life. Because I can trust in them. You're going to do a lot of things in life that are going to seem like they work out. Do you understand that? And only later on you'll go, why did I do that? But then it's too late. I say this many times. Let me know if I have to switch to the other mic. Many times I've seen people, and we'll do things, and using the example of raising children, that's one of those things that right now we may think we know what we're doing, and then when they get older we're going, okay, I know where I messed up. But it's too late. You got where I'm coming from? You know, there's certain things that you can say you're doing now. Now, if I follow what God says, sometimes it doesn't seem like it's working. But trustworthiness is, but he told me to do it, that's what I'm going to do, period. And then later on, you'll realize I did the right thing. Plain and simple, he knows what he is doing. So we will follow his precepts, we will follow his words. Understand that his faithfulness in all promises and in truly loving his creation. He's faithful in all promises and truly loving his creation. Psalms 145, 13 through 17 says, your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures through all generations. The Lord is faithful to all, everybody say all, his promises, and loving towards all, everybody say all, he has made. Now look at those two things first. He is faithful in all his promises. So as I go through the word, when you say, and it says God will, oh, he's going to do it. Y'all get this? You may look at it and go, I can't see how he's going to do it. I can't see how it's going to work. But he's telling you the answer. No, it's going to be done. Okay? And it's saying he's faithful. But look what he says also. Loving towards all he has made. The word says, God so loved the world. You do understand. He gave us and has given us and continues to give us the chance we need. But he loves us so much through his grace and his mercy. He doesn't just give us a chance. He gives us a gift and an outcome and a way to escape responsibility, if that makes sense. You understand what I mean? I mean, what we really are supposed to do, he gives us a way out. He gives us all of this because he loves all of us. Now, if you allow Satan to distort your definition of love, if you allow you to distort what it means to truly have from God and to be blessed by God, you'll look at some of the things God says and go, no, he must have gotten this wrong. No, he must have gone the wrong way on this one. You understand this? But when you understand he says all his promises, he is faithful and loving towards all he has made, you see this displayed. Going on, it says in verse 14, the Lord upholds all those who fall and lifts up all who are bowed down. The word all is used a lot here. Okay, letting us know he does all this. He's the one who handles everything. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food at the proper time. Significant. At the proper time. Sometimes it doesn't fit your time, but when he gives it, it is the right time. Does that make sense? You understand that? He gives it at the proper time to everyone. Those who look to him and depend on him, when he gives it, you'll go, that was perfect. It was the exact time I needed it, at the proper time. You open your hand and satisfy the desires of every living thing. And that word satisfy does not mean satisfied based on my desires. It means he fulfills what I really need. You remember how in Ecclesiastes it says that he has given us eternity in our hearts? Now what that means is you can do everything in life to get everything you think you need, and you'll stop and go, but I'm still missing. I don't know what's going on. I'm still struggling. Do you understand that? Why do I still feel empty? There are people who have, and like I said, the book of Ecclesiastes has been given to this wholeheartedly, in which he's saying, in the book of Ecclesiastes, he says, I have put my heart to fulfill every desire to myself, basically. And then in the end, he says, and it's all meaningless. Do y'all get this? In which nothing came of it. So he lets you know that the meaning of life is to fear God and to keep his commandments. You know what I mean? You should go ahead and enjoy, but remember, your life is living for God. The only person that can fill the void in you is God. And it has to be based on God. And he's saying he satisfies the desires of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and loving towards all he has made. Please understand this. So this faithfulness is letting you know, you may not see it as love, but it is love. He knows what he's doing. God's faithfulness keeps us from being tempted beyond what we can tolerate. Being tempted beyond. Now, let me make this clear. I've said this to you before. People mix this up with putting more on us. Temptation and the load you have are two different things. Please understand that. The Bible does say, as we're going to read here, he doesn't give us more than we can bear in our temptation. But God, the Bible also shows us he does give us more than we can bear in life. And there's a reason for that. And I'll explain that quickly after I read this. It shows us in 1 Corinthians 10, if you think you are standing firm, be careful. Now, why is it saying that? There's some of us in life that, man, I'm smart enough, I'm pretty successful, things have been going well, I'm doing good on my own. He said, so you think you got this, don't you? He's saying, you think you got everything covered. He's saying, be careful. And he lets you know that you don't, be careful that you don't fall. No temptation has seized you except what is common to man, and God is faithful. Now watch what he says. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear, but when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. Now what this means, temptation leads to what? Sin. Okay? And you only sin when you choose to do it. Okay? How temptation works is the thing that tries to lure you in to sin. Now a lot of times when people sin, the first thing they say is, I couldn't help it. And what God's letting you know, no, that's not the truth. The answer is, you didn't help it. Big difference. You understand it? It's not that you couldn't help it, because he just showed you, not only do I give it that you can help it, that it's something that's less than what you can take, I also provide a way out. So it's not unbearable in temptation. He's saying there's also a door sitting over there. But it comes down to your choice. Now, the difference between load, just as a side note, and if you get a chance, read 2 Corinthians 1, 8, starting verse 8. And that's where it says, he gives us more than we can bear. Why? Because our load, we're supposed to depend on him. Please understand that. We're supposed to fully depend on him, not rely on us. Okay? So we are going to have a load, and we're expected to have a load, and that's normal. Okay? So the load on us in life is we're supposed to live our lives depending on God. Okay, but that's a whole other study. I just want to make sure you understood that. But when it comes to temptation, you can never say, it was too much, I couldn't help it. God is faithful. And when he says he's faithful, he's saying, I'm letting you know, it never happens that you say, but this time when I sinned, I really couldn't help. There's no such thing. You get that? Okay? Not only does he make it so it's something you could have just said no to, he also provided a way out. Him being faithful. So I know he can be. So in other words, so when I sin, simply put, I repent. It's my fault. That was all me. I can blame you as much as I want. I can blame all the people I want. When I sin, my fault. Y'all get this? Because I know my God is faithful and he provided a way out. We must make sure all our trust is in God because only God is faithful. It says in 2 Thessalonians 3:1-3, finally, brothers, pray for us that the message of the Lord may spread rapidly and be honored. Okay, so that's a good prayer that we make sure that God's word is spreading and it's getting through people in a fast pace. Okay, and that they receive it and honor it. This is God's word. Now, why does it say and honor it? And today, and we see this even worse today, we got too many intellectuals, too many people that challenge God's word. They'll look at what God's word, and you'll hear them distorting it with, well, he doesn't really mean this. Well, it could really be this. Well, and you know, and I think they're brilliant enough that they can take God's word and distort it. Many things in God's word, you don't know how many times I hear people challenge it, and they'll challenge it in a way that they think God is sitting there going, oh, you know what, you're right. But I mean, this is God we're talking about. Do you understand that? If he said it, that settles it, and that's how we're supposed to look at it. So it lets us understand that we want the word to spread rapidly and that people honor it. If God said it, did you get this from the Bible? Amen. Y'all get this? Saying that it's being honest is just as it is with you. And it says, and pray that we may be delivered from the wicked and evil men. For not everyone has faith. He's letting you know to talk about the unbelievers. But the Lord is faithful. Now, why is that term even there? Because in my what I'm going through, I can't depend on you. You can't depend on me. Does that make sense? You understand? And plus, we're amongst people that we can't depend on. One of the worst things we try to do down here is we try to rely on people instead of putting all of our reliance on God. When I go to you, I'm going to you in order for God to use you. Prepare for you to let me down. Do y'all get that? Hopefully you're prepared for me to let you down. He's saying not everyone has faith, but he makes very clear the Lord is faithful. That's why I'm hearing your support or the things you may give me, but I'm going to check God's word to make sure it's grounded and it's solid in there. Does that make sense? Does everybody get that? Because the Lord is faithful. And it says, and he will strengthen and protect you from the evil one. If I rely on you, you're going to give me some advice that's going to put me in more danger. No offense. But it's the truth. Same thing with me. If you came here and you just wanted my advice, my answer to it, you're setting yourself up. But if you want me, and if I want you, we both want us to guide each other towards God. Does that make sense? When they come to me for encouragement, you come to me for me to guide you through God's word on how to be strengthened. Not on, hey, make me feel good based on what you think. Based on my sight, based on my own feelings. Only God is faithful. Like I told you before, I can give you some advice that's going to feel good for the moment, and it might even seem like it's working. Until later you go, what have I done? Amen? Only God is faithful. And knowing God is faithful allows us to go through suffering and never turn back. This is so hard in today's world because I think we keep teaching being a Christian means there's no suffering. We keep teaching being a Christian, when you go through it, look for a breakthrough to get out of it. And then what ends up happening, and I see this happen way too often, people become Christians, and then they leave. Why? And you'll hear them basically mad at God. You're kind of like, what? And they'll give you the, I don't know why he did this to my family. I don't know why he did this to me. And I was doing this. And why did he take this away from me? And why? And I'm not going to lie. The emotional side wants to give them an emotional answer. I get it. I know it hurts. And I understand. However, going back to that beginning one, he says, do not let your heart be troubled. Is that what he said? He also said in the beginning, in all things, he works for the good. So he's letting us know. And look what he says in 1 Peter 4, 15 through 19. If you suffer, it should not be as a murderer or a thief or any kind of criminal or even as a meddler. Okay, he's letting you know. So if you're suffering because of something you did, then, you know, the blame is on you. If I go spend all my money, I can't blame God for not having any money. Okay, there's a difference on that. All right? You know, if I go jump on a moving train and I get hurt, that's my fault. Y'all get this? Okay, when I do something that's stupid, when I do something foolish, then and I get hurt from it, I can't go, God, why are you doing this to me? All right, he's making that very clear. He's saying, however, if you suffer as a Christian, he's saying, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear that name. For it is time for judgment to begin with the family of God, and it begins with us. He's saying, oh, you're going to go through suffering. Y'all get this? You're going to go through it. And it begins with us. What will the outcome be for those who do not obey the gospel of God? And if it is hard for the righteous to be saved, what will become of the ungodly and the sinner? Watch this. It says, so then those who suffer according to God's will should commit themselves to their faithful Creator and continue to do good. Did y'all catch that last line? It said, those who suffer according to God's will, okay, should commit themselves to their faithful Creator and continue to do good. So it's saying you're going through this storm. And you're like, God, I did everything that you're asking me to. Why is this happening to me? My answer can't be, I'm done. I'm leaving. Because, God, I did what you asked me to, and you didn't give me what I was supposed to get, so I'm leaving. It's not supposed to work that way. What he is saying is, no. There is a reason. Trust me. Continue to do what I say. Y'all get this? Continue to follow me based on me, is what he's showing us. Continue to do what I'm saying. There is a reason why this. And if you notice, he doesn't give us the answer why. No. You'll hear that later. You'll get that one day. But for the most part, it's no. Just go through it. There is a reason you're going through it. The suffering has a purpose to it. Does everybody get this? There is a purpose for it. Continue to do what I'm telling you. Does that make sense? Does everybody get that? Okay? He puts us through this, even though it doesn't make sense, but we don't walk by sense. We walk by faith. Amen? And too many times, we keep walking by sense and calling it faith. I mean, that's a common thing today. More and more people will come and say, I have faith, and you hear them talk a sensible thing. And it's like, no, that's something you've seen. Faith is, well, his word said this, and I'm doing this. And even though everything else around me is doing it based on something they've seen, I'm following completely what he said. That's faith. Y'all get this? Completely trusting in him. God is faithful, but his faithfulness only benefits those that totally give themselves to him. Did y'all catch that? Okay, think of his faithfulness as something that's always there. Remember, he said he will never leave us nor forsake us. But we can leave it. You know what I mean? We can, remember, there's a verse that even tells us to stay within God's love. And then you'll be protected, basically. We leave that umbrella of love. That's our choice, usually. We walk away from it, and we're like, why am I getting wet? Why is this happening to me? Because we leave it. It shows in 1 John 1, 8 to 10. It says, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. So if anybody really thinks that you were born, and you were super righteous, and God just allowed you to live amongst all these other sinners, and you might have made some mistakes, but you never sinned, man, are you a liar? And you're deceiving yourself. It goes on to say, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Somebody asked me a question a while back. Well, as Christians, do we still have to repent? Absolutely. Biggest reason you have to repent is to understand what he did. A lot of times we don't know what him dying on the cross did because we don't understand how significant our sin is. Yes, it is very important for us to sit down and go, I'm a sinner. You know, Romans 7 is powerful when Paul ends it with, what a wretched man I am. Because he's recognizing, you know what? I don't deserve any of this. Who's going to save me from me? Do y'all get this? See, we tend to live with a, I might have messed up, God. Can you give me your grace? That sounds great. Okay, I'm going to do my thing. And we live with this attitude of he owes us something instead of the understanding of, wait, not only don't I deserve this, what I really deserve, man, do y'all get this? What I really deserve, he hasn't given me. I'm not being hit what I really deserve. And it's significant for us to grasp that and for us to realize that. It's saying he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Not only will he forgive us, so in other words, we won't get punished for what we deserve, he'll cleanse us as if we never did. Gift, full gift, if we trust in him. And purifies us from all unrighteousness. Watch this. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and the word has no place in our lives. So if you really think, okay, God, I accept you, but I really didn't do anything wrong, you're really not saved. And that's what happens. You have a lot of people that have no idea what it means when it says confess your sins. And this is why we have to learn and understand what it means to sin, what it means, how far we are down, and how much we need him. His grace and mercy means absolutely nothing to us if I don't understand why I need his grace and mercy. Amen? And many don't understand that. And they also see in Psalms 145, verse 18 through 20, it says, the Lord is near to all who call on him. To all who call on him, watch this, in truth. Oh, you have a lot of people that are calling on God, but it's in some other way. You got a whole lot of religions, and you have people in Christianity that are calling them in their own way. You'll say, well, you know, God's not going to do this, but I'm going to call on him my way. Now, some people still think they have that special relationship with God. Special relationship means no relationship. Let y'all know this. Okay? If you think you have some special relationship than everybody else, you missed it. He shows no favorites, right? You play a part in the body, but there's no favoritism here. So he's not going to say, everybody else follow the Bible, but Keith, you can skip Thessalonians and James. No, no, it's not what it's saying. Y'all get this? No, no, I have to follow him just like you have to follow him in the exact same way. It's saying he is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth, based on his word. In other words, if I call on him any other way, it's like me not calling on him at all. He doesn't hear it. It's saying he fulfills the desires of those who fear him. Now you may go, well, that means he's going to fulfill my desires. No, no, no. If you fear him, it changes your desires. When I revere God, my desires are for him. So my desires will be fulfilled. Do y'all get this? Remember, fearing God is not some words you say. It is a characteristic, it's a lifestyle, it's a focus you'll have on God. To revere God, it's non-existent today. To live in the fear of God is something you just don't see like you should today. We really should walk in life going, oh, I can't do that. Oh, wait, let me check the word. People will do things first and they go, oh, I probably shouldn't have done that. And sometimes we don't even question it. Think about it, how we live our lives. We kind of do things the way we feel, the way we think, based on our own intelligence, never going, I got to check with God, right? You'll watch marriages that work on their own way, not based on God. You'll watch parents, when they raise their kids, do it their way, but not based on God. And we do it in a certain way, no fear. Not realizing all of it, I got to answer to God. I always tell you as a minister, it comes down to this point. I try to avoid getting up here showing anything that I may know through intelligence, through experience, because that's all me. Because I know one day I have to sit down and God goes, wait, Keith, explain to me why you did this. And my only answer has to be, well, because your word said it. Do y'all get this? Not, well, the way I thought it, I did this calculation and I sat down and the way I see it and all of this, because all that stuff is nonsense. Do y'all get this? When I recognize, oh, because you told me to. Why did you do this, Keith? Oh, because you told me to. We have to make sure we're depending on him. It's saying he fulfills the desires of those who fear him. He hears the cries and saves them. The Lord watches over all who love him, but all the wicked, he will, there's that word will, destroy. Remember about the promises? All those who are wicked. If you ever did a study, and we had a Bible study, I got to do it soon again, on wickedness. It'll blow your mind because what Satan has successfully done is we've distorted that title or the definition of wickedness. We have made wicked way beyond wicked. And things that are still wicked, we've kind of lightened those up. Well, that's really not that bad. And if I do this, that's okay. And God doesn't care about this. And we're doing a bunch of things now. Just like that's what happened with Sodom and Gomorrah. They normalized wickedness. Things that still are wicked, they normalized it to where people were like, that's no big deal. That's okay. But if you did that, did y'all get it? It's almost to an extreme. Somebody saying, I only killed two or three people, but if you killed 10. Yeah, and I'm serious. And they'll think in their mind, the extreme, oh, do you see, but because this person killed 10, I only killed 4 or 5. And they normalize it. And if you stop, we're doing that with a ton of things. And we're making it less. And he's saying, no, still wicked. And if that's what defines you, you will be destroyed. And that's a dangerous place to be. Finally, always knowing God is faithful lets us live our lives in his faithfulness. That's, see, now remember I said, God is always there. It's up to us to stay within him. This is your choice. Whatever storm you're going through, and this is what Satan does, and you see it in the book of Job. He tries to shake you to make the decision to leave. The whole time God was there with Job. The whole time watching the entire thing, the whole time protecting, you understand that? But the answer would have been Job cursed him and died. Remember that whole thing. If he would have left him, if he would have chose to leave him. Same thing with you. You're going through something. He's waiting for that breaking point, that moment for you to go, I'm leaving. But when I keep saying, but God is faithful, I'm struggling, but God is faithful. He brings me through it. It shows me in Hebrews 10:19-25. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new living way opened for us through the curtain that is his body. Now stop for a minute, just let everybody know, if you get a chance, read Hebrews, because Hebrews kind of gives us the transition from the Old Testament to the New, if you ever wanted to know that. I think I've told you that before. And then what it's showing you is what a lot of the things they did physically, what they represent now, why we don't do them now. Y'all get this? And this is like you're going to get a bit of it here, where it's showing us by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain. There was a curtain on the temple, and it's saying that is his body. Our entrance into the temple is Christ's body, and because we are Christ, or part of his body, that's why our bodies are temples. Y'all get this? Okay? So we have that entrance to God that we had to let a high priest go in. But now we have the greatest high priest. And this is, since we have a great high great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God, watch this, with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith. What does that mean? In other words, now approach him completely based on how he says to approach him. Does that make sense? His word gives us full understanding of how to have relationship. The Greek word for relationship is gnosis. It means intimate relationship. I mean, you know him. Not just know him, you know him. Yeah, have you ever seen somebody, you say, I know them, and then, oh, I went to school with them, I never talked to them or anything. Not that type of knowledge. I'm talking about a husband and wife knowledge. Know them. Did y'all get this? You know, my wife knows me. She knows when something's the matter. She knows when I'm going to eat something or not. She knows when, you understand, there's a knowledge. You have this intimate relationship, and that's the relationship he wants to have for us. Have with us. He's saying, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith. The full assurance is, I'm going to go through a storm, and the storm will never dictate me. Think about that for a minute. Now, if I'm being a true Christian, the only thing that dictates me is God. Now, why am I saying that? Because you get a lot of people, as Christians, will go through something, and they'll readjust God, because that thing dictates them. It could be a sickness, it could be a situation in life, it could be some sort of disaster. Instead of me going, nope, his word told me to stay. His word told me to not let my heart be troubled. God, I don't understand why all this is happening to me. I don't know what's going on with me, but let not my heart be troubled. It goes on to say, since we have this great priest over the house, having our hearts, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold, look at this word, unswervingly to the hope we profess. If you're a Christian, you only hope one thing, Jesus' return and being with him. And in other words, you're only going to be focused on that. You're going to see some things in life that are not going to make sense, but you're not going to swerve to the right or to the left. Y'all get this? You're not going to budge. You're going to go, no, God told me to keep going straight. But do you see all this stuff happening around you and the people behind you, they stop and I think they're a lot more comfortable. No, I'm going straight. I'm not going to swerve either which way. It's saying, for he who promised is faithful. He's saying, yeah, I know all this stuff is sitting. I know what you're feeling. I know the storm you're going through. God knows what he's doing. Do y'all get this? It goes on to say, and let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. You see the two things that I'm supposed to encourage you in. Into love, understanding what love is, what true God, remember, because God is love, so I'm supposed to spur you on to God and doing what God says, doing the actions of God, good deeds, only God is good. Do you understand this? So in other words, to live towards that. See, we try to spur each other on to feeling better. We try to spur each other on to what they want to hear. We try to spur each other on. Isn't that what happens? We're in a world right now in which we're trying to please others. You know that verse that says, if I were still trying to please man, I will not be a servant of Christ. That's the problem. We keep trying to please man. You want me to tell you what you want to hear? Or am I telling you what God is saying based on his word? In other words, when I say it, it's not me coming to you. God told me something here. I'm telling you something that you can go check yourself. It's in his word. Does that make sense? Everybody has a strong, you have access to it that nobody had throughout the years. We have this strong access. So we have to spur each other towards love and good deeds. And let us, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another all the more as you see the day approaching. In this faithfulness, I have to encourage you in this faithfulness as we keep walking in his faithfulness. Because by sight, you're going to hit some things that are going to make you want to turn to emotion, to intellect, based on culture or your ignorance. It's going to catch on to one of those things and make you go, okay, God, I can't take this, so I'm going to go do this. And Satan's going, got that. And more you keep seeing people fall off who are not trusting and staying in him. Our God is a faithful God. So just depend and rely and trust in him. Amen? All right.